Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
The following podcast is a member of the Great Big Owl family.
Welcome to We Hat Worry.
Worry. It's a Wednesday night. We're in our respective sitting rooms and it's podcasting time. God, I'm sorry about that.
Are we on episode 5 now of series 2?
I don't know.
Season 2. Let's just say that we are.
We're somewhere around there.
My name is Yasmin Akram.
I'm Philippa Dunn. We're still in separate rooms. I said that we're still in separate rooms.
Look, we're going to be in separate rooms. This does amaze you, though. I think that you are swept away with the power of technology.
I am. We talked before about my mistrust of contactless card payments, didn't we?
Yes, we did. Yes.
Yes. And my disbelief often rolls over into just bog standard everyday technology. I still, like, for Christmas, I got gifted a pair of those ear pods, do you know, for the Apple.
An Apple ear pod. Is that now for just listening to music, or is it something that you can put in your ears to sleep? I wish somebody could have seen your face that question, because it was like mastermind. That you looked at me like, what are you even asking?
The sleep thing, I'll be honest, it threw me. Oh, you would fall asleep. Oh, are you talking about like a noise cancelling?
Yeah, an ear plug that you
plug.
Because I know I know kids on the streets, you know, these nowadays, they're listening to their music 24/7, Phil. Mm-hmm. They're sleeping in with their earbuds in. Oh God, I sound like I'm 90. So I was wondering if that was what you were experiencing yourself.
They're very good at the old noise cancelling. So were you to go to bed with them in, I think you'd probably have a nice lie in for yourself if that was an option.
Would you would they fall out if you did a rollover or slept on your face?
They have that kind of technology where they sit kind of snugly in the ear canal.
Lovely.
Although even with these, as advanced and all as they are, I have the constant lifelong problem of my right ear hole is bigger than my left, because any pair of fucking in-ear headphones I've ever used, the right one just slowly jiggles out over the course of five minutes. And the next thing you know, you're like, oh, there it goes.
You've got a looser right canal. Is that what I'm using terms that sound technical and medical, but a looser right canal.
Yes. And I, because of that, I nearly lost one into the cat litter trade this morning.
I was going to say, did you ever look? Yeah, but you obviously, that's going to happen.
No, I rescued it and gave it a good wipe down with an anti-back wipe.
Good.
Yeah.
If they're noise cancelling. Sorry, I feel like I'm talking over you a lot, but I think I'm very jazzed about this particular subject. If they're noise cancelling, Phil, are they safe to wear out and about? If if you're crossing a street and they're noise cancelling, would you be looking over your shoulder constantly to see if there was a car and or person behind you?
Well, like wearing any pair of headphones, you must have your wits about you, because you were depriving yourself of one of your senses.
Yeah.
So I would say
one of the big five.
Yeah. Your five a day senses, regardless of what headphone you're using. Always have your wits about you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Especially when crossing roads and on bikes and etc.
Do you remember the Safe Cross the Code song from Ireland?
One. Look for a save, please.
That was very aggressive.
Well, what? I was... You have to get the song off to a rollicking start. One.
Look for a safe place.
Two. Don't hurry. Stop and wait.
Three.
I don't know three.
Look all around and listen before you cross the road. Remember, four. Let all the traffic pass you. 5. Then walking straight across you. 6. Keep watching. That's the safe cross code. Know the code.
Oh my God, I only know 1 and 2.
Oh, well then, Philippa, don't go crossing the street if you don't know all six steps of the safe cross code.
I didn't even know there were 6. Oh no.
I don't even know how that's gotten into my mind. Mm. I remember all of those old bloody songs from Ireland, and not like the old songs of, you know, Fighting the English. Not those ones. All the ones off ads.
Yeah, and there was also stuff from school like Kelle dat de ton anniversaire, Kelle dat de ton anniversaire, Janvier.
That's a French song.
Février. Mars. There's a theme here. It's just then just all the months of the year.
So it was Avril. A French song.
Quelle est la date de ton anniversaire? Yeah, it was in junior cert French.
Oh God, we didn't get any songs in our school.
Yeah.
We didn't get any songs in I learned Spanish badly, but we didn't do songs.
Oh.
So what's been going on with you this week? Because you're first this week with the old worries.
Well, it was just to complete the reason why I even started talking about those ear pods.
Yes, of course.
What the hell are they called? I don't know what they're called. Basically, I don't know why I started talking about them. But
no, but listen, I cut you off and tried to get you into a worry before you were even finished with that thought.
No. But it's the same mistrust of technology, in that every time I answer call whilst wearing them, I spend the first 45 seconds going, can you hear me? Can you hear me? Can you hear me? And then I say, and they're like, yeah. And then I go, now do tell me if I drop out anytime. I'm wearing these new ear. They think I'm just showing off that I got them for Christmas.
Are they hands free?
Oh yeah,
wire free. They float. Okay.
Yeah.
So I would be freaked out. How are they picking up your?
This is the thing. I don't know. That's why I have to ask everyone on the phone. Can you hear me? Or because they're just two floating earbuds. I wish I had them in front of me.
Do you get strange looks when you're walking with your earbuds in people and you're talking? Like, do people kind of think for a second, oh, is she on the phone or is she, you know, coping with some situations in her mind?
No, but I do remember, like, casting my mind back the first times, like, as a, what it be, late teenager or young adult, the first times I would have seen people walking down the street having a conversation, hands-free.
Yeah.
Remember?
Yeah.
And you'd be like, what the fuck are they doing? And then you realise, oh my God, this is the phone thing.
Yeah, totally, yeah. Totally.
It's the phone thing they've been talking about.
It's the phone thing.
Yeah.
That's what you are now.
Yes, I'm one of those phone thing people. This worry that I had, it happened today actually.
You're very good with finding I like what you're doing. I like what you're doing this season, Phil, with your worries. It's like, it's always like, this is fresh out of the oven worry.
Or what I've been doing the last few weeks is, this is from way back when.
You're mixing it up. You're keeping it fresh. You're keeping your powder dry. And then sometimes it's old school. Let's cast our mind back.
Dare say I'm being dynamic.
Oh, I've always thought you were dynamic from day dot.
True. And yes, and correct. So today, today I had to write. So a few weeks ago, I purchased an item of clothing online.
Great.
It didn't suit me. I read the returns policy, told me if I wasn't 100% satisfied with the purchase, I could return it. I wasn't 100% satisfied. So I packaged it all up into its little plastic bag, printed off the label. And it said, leave it with your local courier. Drop off.
I've played this game before as well. Yeah, that's what they say.
Yes. Yeah. And you're like, oh, OK, that sounds very, again, technology. That sounds very, again, technology. And it's really great because my nearest parcel drop off is the petrol station at the top of my road. That's excellent. So off I went into the shop proper of the petrol station. I said, hi, do you do the parcel drop off? And your man goes, he just points out the window. And I was, in that moment, I got really confused. I was like, oh, maybe it's the other shell garage. And I just expected to look out the window and see a second identical shell garage there. But then I went, no, this is the only shell garage on the road. There's no other. So what he was pointing me to was, you know, like one of those big giant metal wardrobes.
Yes.
So it was one of them on the forecourt. So I went, oh, thanks a million. And in my head I went, oh shit, not one of these. I think we've established I'm not good with technology. So toddle over to the thing. It's one of these interactive press screen, you know, all this jizzy futuristic stuff. And I just look at it going, oh fucking hell. So first things first, I press start on the screen, the interactive touch screen.
So is this that you have to print out your own return label? Is this what I'm thinking? Okay.
Yes, I had done that already and it was on the parcel. So, I interacted with the interactive touch screen, of course, which is half cracked and the sun is shining at an angle that I couldn't really, you know, like...
Sure, yeah,
like a shitty ATM. Yeah, so I start pressing buttons and it says, scan your barcode from your parcel. Was doing that for approximately 7 or 8 minutes because it wasn't picking up anything. And I was just like, I don't know where to go from here. Who can I can't speak to the man in the petrol station. I think he wants nothing to do with me. And I was just like, what the, oh, Jesus Christ. So eventually it scans. And then I hear this ka-chunk and one of the cupboards, one of the doors on this big metal cupboard thing opens.
Oh,
and the screen says, go on, put your parcel within the press there. So I put it in.
Some of it actually said that. Those exact words. Go on, put your parcel within the press there.
Yeah, I did the voiceover for it as well. I did a voiceover this week. What did you do? Oh, instructions for a metal press in a petrol station. I'm quite excited about it. And what kind of things do you have to say? Oh, put your parcel there within in the press.
Show us your barcode. Go on, show us your barcode.
Show us the old barcode there, like a good girl. And all done. You're fine. Go on now. See you later.
Safe home.
Yeah. You'll get an email now confirming that in the next couple of hours. Keep an eye on the email there now, you'll get covered.
They said in the breakdown, we want someone who sounds incredibly Irish. Incredibly and like an Irish, a friendly Irish lady.
Yeah, like an aunt or something.
Yes, yeah.
Who's just very encouraging.
Yeah.
Yeah, for people who are like me, like a technophobe, who just feel threatened by that kind of stuff. They just want somebody jigging them along.
Yeah, saying, oh great, listen, put that barcode in.
Yeah.
There you go. Oh, yeah. It's opened.
Ara, hold it up a bit more. Closer. Ara, a bit closer now. Come on, don't be shy. But in my case today, it kept saying, move back properly, approximately 15 centimetres. And I was like, what even is fucking 15 centimetres? Don't have my ruler with me. Don't have my yardstick at hand.
Move back from the cupboard.
Yeah, because I had the barcode like right up against the laser thing. Being too keen again.
Right.
So anyway, this door opens, you know, something out of Narnia. Do you know, this door comes open and it goes, put your old package within the press there. So I slide it in and mercifully it'll fit now. And then I close the door. And I said, right, what would be lovely now is a receipt.
Yeah. Let me know that it's all done and dusted.
Yeah. So I've got my proof of whatever. And there was no receipt on offer, just a QR code to scan. Now.
Oh, listen, it was all scanning, wasn't it?
Look, I don't know how long these, I don't even know if it's called a QR code, but that box with all the different boxes in it. I don't know how long they've been about. I still don't know what they are. I still don't know how to use one. I am totally not up to speed on anything technology. So I was like, right, I'm really Ah, Jesus, I'm really stumped with that one now. I'm really stumped with that one now. So I just took a photo of him.
What did you take a photo of?
Of the barcode thing. I don't know.
Oh,
anyway,
right, okay.
Anyway, this isn't even my worry. This was just my, well, the worry was when your man pointed me to the metal press, I was just like, all right.
I think that that is, like, everybody understands that. Because I'll tell you something. This might, look, it might not be everybody's experience of going and returning packages. But every place I go to, anybody who works behind the counter, when they see you coming in to return a package, they're just rude. Because they're not selling you anything. You're not in the shop to buy anything. You're there to use to basically bother them by sending this package back. Not any single shop that I've been into with a package that I've returned have I been greeted with a friendly, oh, would you like to return? There's always like someone with a pen like tapping on something. And I'm like, sorry, what is that? And they're going, tap, 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 tap. And I'm going,
to sign.
Oh, there's something over here where there's where the barcode machine is, or there's where the label machine is.
Oh, okay.
One time, and I was very thankful it was me, about a couple of weeks ago, I went to return something. It was I came in quite a big box as well. And I was returning it, and there was a guy in front of me, and he didn't know what was going on or what he had to print out. Mm. And I thankfully had the right thing printed out, and the shopkeeper was saying to him, you should have what she's printed out. And the guy was going, but I tried to do that. Like, I don't understand why no one can help me now that I'm here. And he had a huge big thing with him as well. So yeah. I think it's across the board where when you go to deliver or return something, there's always going to be a faff because someone's seeing you come and going, well, you're not buying anything, so just get out of my face.
So many labels. It's like, oh, Christ.
I know.
Well, we are in a lockdown scenario at the moment where none of these shops are open, so it all has to be done online. It's just, yeah, they try to make it as straightforward as possible.
Yeah.
And you have to understand people who don't have, sorry.
No, but I was going to say, also, they have to understand that nobody wants to return anything because if you've ordered something, especially when it comes to clothes, you want it to be amazing. And so when it comes then,
sorry.
Philip's cat's face just appeared in the camera. And that was quite intense. What was I saying? Yes, you want your clothes to fit. You want to have a good purchase. When you have to give it back, oh, there's a... I bought a fancy bra, right? Yeah. I know that's not a thing you say in an Irish accent very well, a fancy bra. And I was so excited about it because I was like, I'm going to spend some money on some good underwear, like top of the range underwear. So I must have dropped about 150 notes on this bad boy.
Just on the bra alone.
What?
Just on the bra alone.
Just on the bra alone. Because, you know, I was like, I'm going to treat myself. Listen, beautiful looking bra.
Lovely.
Right?
Yeah.
Showed up. I couldn't get one fucking tit in it. I'll be honest with you. It was my size. It was like they made it out of it was so tight that it was cutting off the circulation in my back.
Jesus,
and then it was pushing up my boobs so they were basically on the floor. So it was, and that's why I had to return it. I bought a bra in a high street supermarket. I bought a bra in a high street supermarket for £10 last week. I love it, Phil.
Yeah.
I love it.
Is it comfort personified?
It's comfort and also looks great, right? Really very unusual. Cost me £10. I remember returning that bra going, my heart is broken.
That was
my breasts aren't, and that's good. That's why I'm returning it, because I don't want broken breasts trying to fit them into a tiny, ill-fitting bra.
Look, broken breasts are very avoidable. So.
Yeah, just put them into a... But that was it. I was going, why am I wasting my money on bras that cut my circulation off?
No, you go blue from the diaphragm up.
Exactly, and I don't need that again.
Not again.
Not again. And after all those years of having that, I won't do it.
No.
So I understand your pain, that's what I'm saying. So you've returned it though. Now you know the rigmarole if you're going to ever return anything again. You know the lay of the land.
But that wasn't even the worry.
Oh God, we haven't even gotten to it yet.
I know, I've led us all down a garden path. basically, it was once the press was closed, the drawer was closed on this big metal thing, and I started to walk away.
Yeah.
With my non-satisfactory receipt, etc. That's when the worry started. Yeah, that's when the worry started, which was, what did I just put? Number one, it was my usual thing of, what did I just put in that drawer? Was it last year's tax return? Was it my CV?
My house keys. Yeah.
Was it my house keys? Was it my laptop? Was it anything? Yeah. Was it definitely the parcel? Right. So I went through that checklist. I went, no, it was definitely the parcel because I had it in my hand to scan it incorrectly against that laser thing. So I was like, okay, that's fine. That's fine. And then I was like, but did the drawer close? Did it close? Or is it just sitting there flapping in the wind? Because there was a breeze today. And I was like, is it just sitting there for anyone to come along and take what's in there and I don't get my refund? And then the third thing was that definitely the courier's depot? Or did I just put a coat into an outdoor pizza oven? I was just like, oh God. And then I just went, Do you know what? I'm kind of so confused about the whole drop-off scanning scenario itself. I think that cancels out the worry. So I'm just going to go home and not think about it. Because like back in the day, I would have ran back and checked the drawer that it had locked after itself.
And just sniff the air for pizza.
Yeah, for any mozzarella odour. What's a better word than odour? Fragrance.
Fragrance, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
That's... I get it though. I get that high, it's the high anxiety. And also I think when you're doing it, so when you don't have anybody to hand it over to, this is why I like going to the shop though. Yes. It's because when you hand it over and they bippity bip on the barcode machine or whatever, you think to yourself, it's done. It's done now. Because there was, when you just have to put it into a drawer somewhere in a metal container, I would be like, okay, I've got some questions.
There's an air of doubt. There's an air of doubt there. Whereas if you've handed it to another human, at least the other human can tell you, no, this is all wrong. What have you done with this? What label is this? This isn't the proper label. This is a label off the sticky thing you get on a banana.
This is a Chiquita banana sticker.
Sticker. Where did you get this? From a banana. Yeah, I know that. But like, why is it on this ASOS returns bag? I don't know. Yeah.
So when did you dropped it in? So was it today? Sorry that you dropped it in, or was
this
it
today? This is today's fresh off the. Yeah.
You'll probably get an email in a couple of days. Was it from? You'll probably get an email in a couple of days to say we've received your parcel, and now we're processing your returns.
And if I don't, I'll chase it up.
Oh my God! Yeah, you'll make those calls.
I'll chase it up.
I love chasing things up. Yeah. I love making a telephone call. That's what I love to do. To a customer service representative.
Oh, yeah.
Hi, Amanda. Yeah, my name's Yasmin. I just want to clarify something. I sent... and then my voice is quite up here, right?
Oh.
And then if they say, oh, I'm so sorry about that, I'm going to send you a replacement, then I'm just... I'm sweet as pie then.
Yeah, thank you so much.
I mean, this situation is different because you're sending a refund, but not really. It's all about something being delivered and you getting service. You demanding satisfaction.
You've reminded me of another worry that, like, you know, when you're ringing up, say, a customer service line like that, and you hear that thing of all calls are recorded for training and whatever purposes. I always hear that and go, oh, don't do anything crazy. Don't do anything. I have this worry that I'll just go, fuck off, fucking, fuck you, fuck everyone. Then I'll have just a moment of just verbal diarrhea and it'll be really offensive and I'll say something horrible to the person on the other end of the line and I'm like, I don't tend to do that, so let's reel that in.
But I'd love that if it's like, you know, carpet warehouse, Anne speaking, fuck you, Anne.
Yeah.
Fuck you and your carpets, Anne.
Yeah, sometimes I'm just afraid that something awful will come out my gob.
It's just a worry. Well, if you do end up calling a customer service representative about this situation, you swear like a trooper, Phil. You do it. From the moment they pick it up, you just let it out.
Yeah, just see what happens then.
Start off with metal fucking bin. Is this what it's come to? I'm putting my clothes in a metal fucking bin. Can you not sort that out? Can you not have somebody come and get it from me, please?
Yeah. Call that service. Oh, you see, this is how bad, you can hear already how bad I am at coming at people verbally.
No, you're too much of a sweetheart. I'm sorry, you are.
Oh, I don't know about that, but it's just, it's always, you know, when you remember the good comeback lines and the good attack lines.
Oh, yeah, 5 years later.
5 years later in the shower. And then you stand there going, well, I would just like to inform you that no, I was not there on the day. I did not say those things. And I'll tell you why. Because I was in hospital having my appendix done. But at the moment, I took your abuse because I wasn't sure of my movements at the time.
I questioned myself because I forgot my hospital schedule.
That was just a very fantastical role play. None of that is true. Yeah, that true. Never happened.
So how do you feel now that it's been done? Do you feel like, I mean, can you move confidently in this world when it comes to returning clothes? Anything again?
I never want to say I will move confidently.
No, sure.
You just have
to move. That's, do you know what? I'd have that on a t-shirt, Phil. You just have to move.
Just have to move. That's what life is. It's just moving from one scenario to the next and hoping for the best, I think.
Sometimes you don't have to be confident. Sometimes you can even be scared.
Yes.
You just move.
Just move. Don't stop.
Do you know what? I don't know if I've said this, if I've shared this before on the old podcast, but I remember I was moving and I decided, sometimes I go through phases of like keeping a journal, which will last for like 2 days. And I used to live on my own. This is a good few years ago. And I remember before I'd come and viewed where I live now, I was doing like a pros and cons list in this journal and saying like, oh my God, I'm so worried. I don't know if Anyway, I just went and I did it. And then I did it and it was never an issue. Everything just sorted itself out. All the things that I was afraid of never were an issue. And I think sometimes we don't do things because we're living this fear. But like just what you're saying, you just move, even if you're frightened. If you want to do something, you just do it. That is another well-known trademarked company's catchphrase.
Well, do you want to say instead, feel the fear and do it anyway? Oh no, that's taken as well.
What will I Susan say? Confidently step out through fear or any other emotion.
Yes. Is that taken?
Snappy. That's snappy enough, isn't it?
Yeah, just keep, let's just boil it down to keep moving.
That's Dory from, swimming.
Is that taken?
They're
all taken.
Listen, it's all just taken. But look, I'm proud of you for going and doing that thing.
I know I'll have to do it again.
Yeah, and you will do it again.
At the end of the day, it's an article of clothing. The world's not going to end.
Exactly. And you're going to get refunded. Everything's going to be fine.
And it's within my own best interest to embrace this technology that I find so difficult, because I will be left behind.
Oh, Phil, it's only going to get worse technology-wise. We'll all be pressing buttons and, you know, I don't know. When, like, I feel left behind as well, but we'll just have to.
That's a whole other set of worries.
And computers are more scared of us than we are of them. I know that's a lie, but that's just...
We'll just settle on that, though.
Exactly.
You'll subscribe to our podcast.
You know, it's all about how to get the most out of your partner.
And we're partners.
So we know all about it.
It's good. Get it wherever you want to get it, when you go and get it from your podcast place. Richard and Greta.
You know?
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
I do this thing, and I know it's crazy, right? But, like, I'll explain it like this. So I washed my makeup brushes at the weekend, right? Love doing that. Oh, I love it. I've got a little machine. I love doing it. And I have a big orange beauty blender, you know, those kind of sponge things. Yes. So I have one of those and I gave that a wash and I put everything back on my vanity table. Did, you know, clean the rest of my house. Now, I can't find my orange beauty blender. And instead of thinking, because, you know, we've talked about this. We both have an addiction to skincare and, you know, we love, compiling. Is that compiling lots of different types of skincare and everything else? We've got like, I've got like about 4 or 5 drawers of stuff that I haven't used, will never use. I just like having it. It makes me feel good. So I was like, can't find my orange beauty blender. Looked in the drawers, wasn't there. Looked around the vanity table, wasn't there. And my thought was, somebody is breaking into my house and they've stolen this beauty and they're hiding in the attic. Mm. And they're coming out of the attic and they're taking things because they want to scare me.
Right.
And number one is, because they're trying to gaslight me, their number one to go is the beauty blender, because they know that I wouldn't chuck that. It's a good beauty blender and I've just cleaned
it. It has life in it. Yeah.
So, I mean, that happened. And then I was doing something and I have a little kind of seat next to my vanity table. It all takes place around the same area. And then I went to have a shower. And when I came back, the seat that I'd been sitting on was turned to the side.
Oh, right?
Yeah. And I couldn't remember turning it to the side. And then I thought that not only had, now the beauty blender was number one. Mm. They've nipped down from the attic when I was in the shower. And now they've changed the chair around. This is the second step of their plan.
They also knew that they had freaked you out with the beauty blender thing.
Yeah, yeah.
They knew you were freaking out.
Yeah, so they knew that's what I was looking for.
Here's phase two.
Yeah.
Turn the stool.
So that is, so that's been my worry, that there's somebody who's living in the attic who's coming down and moving things and then scampering back up into the attic, making absolutely no noise at all. Just so they can move shit around my bedroom and make me have some kind of breakdown.
Well, I would have, first port to call, I would have gone ghost.
Ghost, sure, yeah.
But that's no more comforting.
No, no.
You still don't want to go to bed tonight thinking it's going to jump out.
Ghost question mark.
Ghost question mark. You don't want that hanging over your head as you settle into your feathery bed.
I think I would be more comfortable with ghost than actual person. Because I think I'm insinuating that it's like, I know I'm actually not insinuating anything, but in my mind, it's a man. It's a man.
Mm.
It's a man who's up to these kinds of tricks.
Of course.
So I'm like, oh,
it's never a nice little granny or anything, is it?
Oh, no.
Or a friendly kitten.
No, it's just a big bloody man. And he's up there, bored out of his face. I think it's also because, you know, when you watch like a spate of these like true crime, I've been watching a lot of true crime stuff, which I always have done. But then you end up going, oh, why is it always some man doing something? Why is it not just, and not a man just doing normal things? Why? I mean, nobody'd watch that documentary.
No, it wouldn't be. There would be no true crime element then.
No.
Because there would have been, yeah. But you see, you haven't licked this off a stone, because there are true life stories out there that if you were a podcast listener, which I know you are,
mm-hmm.
there are many instances. Now, not many. They are few and far between, but of people who have secreted themselves in people's houses and emerged at night to feed themselves or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then...
That wasn't a good sound, by the way. Just I was going... Mm-hmm.
That's your own guts grinding against each other.
Yeah.
With anxiety. So they're, I've heard those stories. Terrifying.
Absolutely
terrifying. And then when they go up to the Attic Glacier, they find that, you know, there's a sleeping bag up there and a few tins of tuna squirreled away and milk bottles filled with whey.
This is it. And I've had mice here in the past. And I've had
They're not
birds.
Mice, yes. What if they're not mice?
This is the thing. Could be anything. Could be anything. And I've had birds. Birds are for some reason, every summer, the birds come and are born in my attic and then they fly down into my kitchen. This happened 2 years in a row. And I don't know, like last year I woke up and I came down and I could hear one behind the I think I was talking to you at the time. Do you remember? And I was like,
yes,
they're fucking back. They're back.
Yeah.
So I think I have a thing about my home being invaded or like because I always feel like whether it be beast or man, I'm defending my house from various
asshole intruders. Well, now, you know, I was thinking about this the other day that, you know, worries can be good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not the worst worry to be aware of your surroundings, like when you're wearing in-ear noise-cancelling headphones. And that, like, if you were to pick up on subtle things in your house that say, God forbid, there was someone living in your attic that, you know, we're all hardwired to look out for strange changes in our environs. So,
yeah, there was a thing that. This just came into my head when you were talking there, but I don't know if I've shared it last week, so I don't know if it's something we've already talked about. So forgive me if it is, but I think I might have briefly mentioned this thing about safety. Was I saying this to you guys?
I think so. Yeah, there was.
I've been watching a lot of things about safety and how, like, when we were children, we all didn't feel safe, especially if you grew up in any kind of trauma or anything like that.
Hmm.
Any kind, like, we moved around a lot when I was a kid, and like, you know, my dad. I always say my dad abandoned us. He did, and I love saying it. I love keep talking about it. So I was watching this thing on YouTube where this man is doing therapy sessions with people, right? It's really interesting.
Wow.
And one of the women that he was doing a therapy session with, she was a perfectionist. And she was saying, like, her thing was she wanted to achieve. It was always the next thing, the next thing, the next thing. My happiness will be in the next thing.
Mm.
And she had the body. She had the amazing career. She had the fella. And everything was going amazing. And she'd basically almost achieved everything that she wanted to achieve. And then her body just basically shut down on her.
Jesus Christ.
And he was saying, when you don't feel like it's okay and safe to be yourself, you do a thing where you start thinking that your safety lies in achievement. So even though you're achieving all of these things, it's like you achieve the job of your dreams and you realize that you still don't feel safe. So then you say to yourself, oh, it's not in the job of my dreams. It's within a person. Mm. And so you find a person and then you go, oh, they, so you feel very terrified and very, very scared on the inside. And you don't know, you don't know that you're feeling that. You just think that you're driven to achieve.
Yeah, you're ambitious and like, isn't ambition good?
Yeah. And you don't understand how when you achieve something, you're going, why does this feel kind of like it's made out of dust? It's just kind of floating away from me because and you're going, it's because there's a terrified child that lives within you that's not able to ever feel safe because the person who needs to make that child feel safe is you. And you're looking for these different things. And that really resonated with me because I think I've always kind of had the perfectionist mentality of, you know, if I just get this, if I just get that thing. And I don't know if this, or like, or if the birds and the mice and the people in the attic, it's a manifestation of that not feeling safe within myself. So I'm scared of things outside of myself that actually aren't really a threat. Because I find I, 'cause you know what I was saying about my anxiety when I wake up in the morning? Like, that's just pure terror. That's just me feeling completely frightened.
And heart racing and just feeling a bit queasy and just, no, I'm not getting up. I'm not getting up.
Yeah, I'm not. Oh, I'm not. And I think it's like by the time I wake up or, you know, throughout my day, I'm able to be in my adult mindset, my logical brain, and be able to go, okay, there's no threats here. But when I wake up first thing in the morning, it's like, well, I'm not, my logical mind hasn't kicked in just yet. And I'm still within my subconscious mind and that child part of me going, I'm really, really scared. Can you help me with that? And I'm going, just do some breaths and, like, you know, so I've been trying to work on that of like trying to make myself feel very safe and safe.
Well, because, did you want to say I'm trying to make myself feel very safety
conscious and lovered?
Yes.
Because I do think that, like, all of those wee things, like, obviously I know that there's nobody in the loft, right? I know that because it's a small loft. And also, if you're going to live in a house, live in the attic of a house, you're going to pick a bigger house where there's more people. So when you're in bed and you hear a creak, you might go, oh, that's Jonathan, he's probably having a wee, rather than pick a tiny house with one person who lives in it, who when they hear footsteps will go, well, it's only me here, so if I'm hearing footsteps, then there's someone in my house. Just doesn't make, for the attic dweller, it doesn't make any sense.
No, because at the best times you'd be hypervigilant in general.
Oh my god, yeah.
You know, so here I am assuming it's,
well,
man,
we all know it's a bloke.
You would assume. What if it was a lovely kitten from the garden?
Oh, that would be, do you know, that would be heaven. And he'd be more than welcome to stay.
Yeah.
Because also he'd deal with the mice problem.
Yeah, and the birds.
Yeah, for sure. They'd smell predator and they wouldn't go anywhere near the gaff.
Be a natural deterrent.
A natural deterrent, yes. But anyway, I've kind of like...
No.
I think that's what activated within me was, oh, I've got to, like, see what I just did there? I've got to fix this, because that's what I do. I always try to fix things, achieve things. You know, that's my mindset. So I'm just allowing myself to realize that I am safe. And
I think a big gift you can give yourself is go, stop telling yourself that you're not perfect, because you are. Do you know? You're exactly the way you're meant to be at the time. Yeah, no, but like, you can really beat yourself up if you keep telling yourself every day, this isn't good enough, it's not up to snuff, you're not good enough, keep doing better. But, like, I mean, you're perfectly fine the way you are. There's nothing to improve on. Nothing. You're exactly as you're meant to be.
You see, I want to believe that. And I think in some ways now, as I get older, because I'm exhausted.
It's a full-time job.
Basically, hating yourself and beating yourself up every minute of the fucking day.
Yeah.
And so you get to a point where you're just like, I can't do this anymore, because I'm in an abusive relationship with myself and I can't walk out the door or slam the door until I decide, I don't want to put up with this shit anymore. I can't do it, because there was something the other day, and I think it was actually about the mice. I was talking about the mice to somebody, and I said, I think having mice made me feel like my house was dirty. Right. And they said, well, no, if you have mice, your house is cozy and you have food in your house. So would you like a cold house with no food in it? Is that what you're saying that you'd like? And I kind of laughed it off. And then this is the fucking voice I have in my head. Right. So then I was lying in bed one night and I thought, no, it is your fault that you have mice. It was. And I went, how? If that was true and I have, I just have a cozy house with food in it. Would you like me, brain, to have a cold house with no food? And my brain went, no. And I went, so it's not my fault then? It went, no, it is. I'll just give me a second to work out how it is.
Fuck. Fuck off, brain. And that brain sounds like a pain in the hole.
Oh my God. But I totally know what that voice is. I totally know where it comes from.
Yes.
And I know as well that it's
Do you know who it is?
Oh my God, yes, it's my mother.
Yeah, see, it's not you. When you ask yourself that, like, the sad thing is you spend your life listening to a voice. It's not actually your own.
Oh, it's
a tape that's playing of somebody else who told you things about yourself. That's just their fucking opinion. And that may or may not be correct at all. And that's why you have to stop. It's really hard, but you just have to, when you hear that voice, you just go, that's not me. I wouldn't say those things to myself. I'd be a bit mean if I was saying those things to myself. Why would I say those things to myself? You're fine. You're actually really good. You're perfect. Yeah. Just keep doing you.
I don't do this very often, but like if you think of yourself as being one day old, right? This has helped me. You're one day old and you're lying there in your mother's arms. Would you, if you could go back into your body at that, at being one day old, would you go, yeah, I'm really not good enough? Or I'm really, you know, or there's something wrong with me, or whatever it is. And then you realize you didn't have those beliefs when you were one day old. You didn't think that you weren't good enough. You shat yourself. You slept all day. You did all the things that you have to do. You let people love you and you let people keep you safe. And then somewhere along the line in your life, you start to download all these things about, oh, I'm not worthy. I'm not good enough. And you're just going, so if that wasn't, if you weren't born feeling, oh, I'm awful, I'm just a piece of shit, then it's not something that is you. It's something that you basically downloaded into the supercomputer in your brain. So you can let it go now because it's just fucking nonsense.
Yeah, you picked it up along the way. I blame school.
I blame school.
That's just my personal opinion though. But I remember going, starting school, 4 years of age.
Yeah.
I thought I was the shit. Like, honest to God, I thought I was the shit.
A confident Phil strutting along.
Confidence personified 100,000,000%. And then as I travelled through school, it was just fucking knocked out. Torn away, strip by strip.
Because I know exactly why. First of all, let's stop and say, the one thing I did enjoy about school was learning the Safe Cross Code. Let's get that out of the way and addressed right now. But I think when you're, look, I don't think it's like out of place to say that we're slightly odd people, Phil, in the best way. That's why we're drawn together, because we're just our own little odd selves.
In Irish, Atning Kirog Kirogella.
What is that? I've never heard that.
One beetle recognizes the other. I think. I fucking hope. Right. This is going back to this call is being recorded. I might have just said something awful. God.
Michael D. Higgins is going to email us now and go, what the fuck was that? But so yes, one beetle does recognise the other, whether you're a George Harrison or a John Lennon. But the thing is, it takes time in your life to find other beetles. And sometimes when you're in a school and you're surrounded by bleeding ladybugs and you're there going, listen, I don't get yous, yous don't get me, but this is where I am. And God love yous, because, do you hear that? It's the sound of a different drummer and I'm walking to it.
Stop pulling off me legs. If we're going with the whole, do you know what?
Stop pulling off me legs. Stop forcing me into a red top with dots on it, because I'm not a ladybug.
Yeah.
I'm a beetle.
Stop putting me in a jam jar.
Exactly. Now, you are referring to the people as humans, not ladybugs, because ladybugs would never pull off your legs. And I just wanted to clarify that.
No, I was just going into all things insecty.
Yeah, no, I was with you and I loved it.
Yeah.
And this is why if we were in school together, we would have just sat beside each other just having a great time.
Would you two shut up down there?
No.
And I'd go, oh my God, sorry.
Yeah, no, I don't even know what I'm talking about. I'd be like, oh my God, sorry, miss, teacher, I love you.
Sorry, miss, teacher.
Yeah.
Would you two down there shut up? This is the other one. I'll separate you. You pair down. I'll separate. Yes, get up. Get your bag and baggage. No. And you're over there. You're over there beside Quiva.
Oh, and Philippa, sorry, miss.
You can stay there. And don't, if I see you pair talking again with each other, that's it.
And then
it.
You're going, this was allocated seating. I didn't do this on my own, miss. Walk over here and do that.
Just paired up two beetles. It's like, what's the worst thing?
I should have known there were two beetles. Well, listen, Phil, that's kind of the worry. I went all around the houses with it, but I think I recognise is, it doesn't make no sense. But when the mind is used to being scared, it will seek out things to be scared of.
Hmm. But you don't like the thoughts of something uninvited invading your personal space. It upsets your kilter, sends you off kilter.
Exactly.
Is that correct?
Yeah.
And whether that be a mouse or a bird, it's just like, if it
or
is
a man stealing my beauty blender.
Did this beauty blender reappear?
No, I haven't fucking found it. I don't know where it is. But you know, it's gonna show up.
It's gonna show up.
When I'm moving house, it'll show up under something.
I'd say it's under the bed.
I've not got one of those right down to the floor. Well. It's gone under
inbuilt
something.
Inbuilt storage.
What?
Inbuilt storage.
I don't have inbuilt storage.
Oh, it's just a complete base.
Yeah, it's a complete base.
You see, why would you make that without including inbuilt storage? That's what I want.
Don't ask me.
Here, who's the manufacturer? And I'll ring up their customer service tomorrow and I'll let rip at them. Recorded phone call or not.
Why the fuck is the extra storage? Excuse me, sorry, what?
Why would you build a bed with no effing storage? And I'd be beeping myself. With no beeping storage. Because I'd still be keeping my politeness.
Yes. Yeah. You wouldn't have lost some of yourself completely.
No. I'd just be, you know, skirting on the edge of it. Wishing I could just let loose. And...
Skirting on the edge of danger. That's the title of your autobiography.
Yeah.
I'd buy that. But listen... I think look, we're getting to the end of the time now. We have to call this a night.
How long have we done?
We've done 52 minutes.
Oh, not bad. Sorry, just being really curious. I probably shouldn't have asked you that.
No, it's nice to keep a time check, you know.
Yeah.
We've all got places to go.
Yeah.
Thanks very much for listening to this episode of We Heart Worry.
Yes. Your ears are always appreciated.
Yeah, we do appreciate you. And if you liked it, please give us a good star rating on the iTunes and subscribe and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, pass the word around if you know someone who might like to listen to this.
Yeah.
God, I sound very tired. Sorry, I'm very tired.
I know, I'm now kind of going into sleepy radio jock mode. I don't think anybody wants that.
This is the 3 a.m. shift.
Yeah. Tracy Chapman's Fast Car. It's about to play. This one goes out to Johnny. Sharon says she loves you.
Oh, hello you. My name's Tom Price.
Hello, I'm Dave Cribb.
You should come and join us. Every day we do a podcast called Cabin Fever, where we talk to loads of comedians who've had to cancel everything else in their lives, so they come on our podcast instead, don't they, Dave?
Yeah, it's an isolation podcast.
Dave, were you yawning at the start of that sentence then? Was it just a little yawn?
Yeah, it's basically the Great Big Owl isolation podcast. We'll have people on from all our podcasts, from your Rule of Threes, your Brian and Rogers, your Musicals, your Bitchins. If you like any of our podcasts, if you like any of those people, chances are they'll be logging onto the Zoom call and just chatting, because let's face it, they got nothing else to do.
Also, there'll be a quiz on the bill. All right, see you soon. Lots of love.
Cabin FE83709. Oh, 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 that's our Twitter name.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.